from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on a Wednesday. Glad to have our buddy Paul Savage in for Tommy today. Tommy will try and join us in just a little bit. Big show coming for you. We've got more Royals baseball, of course, to talk about. A disappointing night for the Royals last night yet again. We'll go through those implications a little bit and get you the latest there. We'll check in on Chiefs camp, where Rashee Rice spoke yesterday to the media. Didn't get a whole lot of information, but we can go through some of that. We've got all kinds of good stuff coming for you. We've got a couple of contests for you today. We'll give away our HTO as we normally do. We'll also give you an opportunity to win some tickets to see Tim Tebow. He's having a big event here in town in a couple of weeks. And we've got some opportunities for you to get out there and hear him talk, maybe win some prizes at the Tebow event. So that's coming up. Stay tuned for those details as well. And our guest today, a little later, second hour coming up, we're happy to be joined by Grady Dick, Wichita's own NBA player now for the Toronto Raptors. He'll be back in town for a basketball camp. We'll catch up with him, get the latest on his camp, get the latest on what's happening in his world lately, and it'll be good to go. The IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. So you can call us there. You can also get in touch with the show on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, those ways, and you're, of course, watching us on 12 News Connected. Hello there as well. Listening to us on the Odyssey app. Hello there as well. And hello to you, Paul Savage. How are you?
I'm good, Jacob. How are you doing, buddy? You doing okay? I'll tell you what, it's a lot going on in our world today, particularly with the Olympics. And it keeps you busy all the time staying up with this stuff, doesn't it?
It does. It's been a fun Olympics. I've enjoyed it.
I have too.
Good action yesterday. Women's USA gold medal in the 200. I watched a little beach volleyball. Lost a little money, Paul, trying to bet women's beach volleyball. I was trying to get behind Team USA. That didn't go very well for me. I bet a lot of the Olympics, but I did bet that. I love beach volleyball. Beach volleyball is wild, man. I really dig it. Team USA basketball gets a win over Brazil. No surprise there. Women's soccer, a thrilling win yesterday in the Olympics as well. So it was a busy day as we come into the home stretch here of the Olympics, and we'll start to, you know, crown some of these team champions and continue to make our way through track. But it's been good out there in Paris. I've enjoyed it.
All right. What can, do you mind? I don't want to get too far off of your schedule on this, but what's been your favorite? I've got a favorite moment. I'm sure you've got a favorite moment, that moment of surprise, that moment of delight. What is, if you boil it down, your one thing on this Olympics so far?
I think my favorite moment has been men's gymnastics, men? That pommel horse to clinch it. And I can't think of the guy's name.
Well, they call him the pommel horse guy.
Everybody knows who you're talking about. Yeah, Detteronde. I can't think of his name, and I apologize. But, yeah, that was probably him sticking that and them getting bronze and, you know, getting held up in the air and all that stuff. That was probably, like, for a moment specifically, I think, my favorite so far.
Well, that's pretty cool. And, by the way, my understanding is his girlfriend calls him the pommel horse guy. So, I mean, if it's good enough for her, it's good enough for us. But so everybody knows who we're talking about. For me, Jacob, it was about 3 or 4 days ago. I think it was over the weekend. The women's 100-mile tour, which is unbelievable. They're going to go 100 miles. Now, this is, of course, on a bicycle. And for me, it was the story of the gold medal winner, Kristen. Oh, gosh, do you remember her name? Help me out. I've gone blank on it, too. But anyway.
I don't know what event you're talking about.
Oh, the 100-mile bicycle, bike race, whatever.
Bike riding to me is like watching paint dry, so I did not catch it.
I was fascinated with it. And by the way, so I'm watching it live. I'm watching it live in my kitchen. I'm watching the whole thing. Well, I've watched it for the last 50 miles of the 100-mile race. I was watching it. And about four or five miles out before the finish, Kristen, an American, jumps out to a lead. I mean, when she jumps out, nobody goes with her. I mean, when she jumps out with about 5 miles, 4 or 5 miles to go, nobody jumps out with her. A lot of times somebody makes a move, somebody goes with them. Well, she went, nobody went. And she's out by about 50 to 75 yards for the rest of the race. Nobody even makes a push on her. And then you learn the story I heard the story from one of the commentators. A week ago, she wasn't on a team. Evidently, there was a team member who decided they can't make the Olympics. They couldn't do it. I don't know what the reason was. They didn't really say this, but somebody dropped off the team. And a week ago, they added this lady to the bicycle race, and she was scheduled to run this race. And she's been on the team for a week. And I thought to myself, what a great story. They popped this girl in. She's from Alaska, of all places. I mean, I've never really heard of many bike riders from Alaska, but she's from Alaska, and she pops out and she wins that thing. I'll tell you what, that was one of the most exciting things I think I've ever seen, combined with the story. I think of all the great things, we can go through, you know, Simone Biles, we can do all those.
Biles.
Yeah. I mean, we can go through all those gymnastic medals, and they were great. Don't get me wrong. Those were great, Jacob. But for me, this moment was the 100-mile, and it was a 100-mile bike race. I guess they call it a tour is what they call it, 100-mile bike tour. And that was just exciting to me for something like that to happen and then to learn the story. That was for me. And I know everybody's got their own little deal. Probably you've got to tune in. If you tune in and catch something live, it sticks with you. That's what happened with me. But man, I've really enjoyed, you know, I hate to say this. I've watched a lot of Olympics. I don't think I've wasted my time because I've had so much enjoyment. I mean, and a lot of times I might be working in my kitchen doing some paperwork or doing something else or getting ready for this show or whatever we do. And I got it on. I mean, I've got it on. I mean, you know, maybe I'm not paying total attention to it, but I got it on. And I guess the ratings, Jacob, you're more in tune with ratings and stuff with television networks. But I guess the ratings, and you can speak to this, the ratings have been really, really good. I'm not missing.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the ratings. I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised, though. You had star power all over this thing, Simone Biles especially, and some of the swimmers. So that doesn't surprise me. But yeah, we can talk a little more about the Olympics later. Ken chimes in. Says your racer is named Kristen Faulkner.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, Paul, let's start with the Royals here.
All right, let's do it.
It's another tough loss last night, another game, you know, in the middle to late innings where they let it go. Seth Lugo was not as sharp as he has been lately, had 4 walks in the game through 5 1/3. The bullpen, after they navigated You know, after they got the sixth inning taken care of, the bullpen was really good. Bubich gave them two strong innings. Will Smith, nothing allowed here again. So, you know, they almost got it done. MJ Melendez with a big hit late, put him at 6-5, and then the Red Sox bring in their closer who's been really good, and he gave them four outs, and excuse me, they couldn't get it done. And so now we sit here, and the Royals are in danger of falling out of the wild card, depending on what happens today in some day baseball. You know, the one thing you can't let happen, especially in a home series, is to get swept like this. Otherwise, you don't get much movement in the wild card situation. Boston came in 2.5 games back. Well, in a 3-game series, if you get swept, you can give up that lead. And that's what we're looking at right now.
Right.
And, you know, that's Houston is definitely not out of it. So there's two teams. We think Tampa will be over time, but you got two teams there. You just can't afford this. They got to get this win today or they will fall out and then they'll be chasing. And Minnesota doesn't appear like a team that's going to slow down. We certainly don't think the combination of Baltimore and New York will slow down. So there's quite a bit of pressure on, I think, on this game today. It's not, you know, there's lots of time and it's not that big a deal, but man, if things go awry and you look back over the season and you see what happened in this series, it could stick in your craw for a little while if you're the Royals. So a lot of pressure, I think, on this game, a lot of pressure on Cole Reagans. They got to be able to get this thing done and avoid this sweep. I don't know how else to put it. And, you know, it's going to take a good start. It's going to take a little offense against the problem here is this is the guy, the Red Sox, is probably the Red Sox, you know, best guy. In Cutter Crawford, at least the best that they've seen in this series on the bump to start things off. But, you know, you had Boston and, you know, Boston took 2 of 3 in Boston earlier this year, not that long ago. That was in mid-July. So you know, as you look back at these things, you'll get 6 games against Boston. The best you can do is 2-4 in those 6. That stuff matters when you're talking about a tight playoff chase.
Well, and it does. And not only that, with Boston, I mean, it's not like, you can absolutely say they're not in the wild card hunt. They're a game or two behind the Kansas City Royals. But if it's a team that matters, it's a team that's good, it's a team that you've got to stack up and get those kind of wins. And you're right. You're right. We may think back. We may be on this show, 60, 90 days from now? Well, about 60 days from now, thinking to ourselves, and we're going to reminisce and say, Paul, do you remember that Wednesday you were in and we were talking about a series with the Boston Red Sox and how that might be a series that – I think you're absolutely right. This could be one of those kind of series. And yet we were talking the same way about a month ago when there was a big series with the Guardians. And so I guess – the point that you're making, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I think every series counts. I mean, you got to win.
Well, of course it does. Yeah, I mean, that part's obvious. Yeah. It matters. But, you know, and you know, Ken continues to chime in, and he's got, you know, it was a fielding error, a wild pitch, you're at home. Like, they're letting these games go. They're letting them slip away, especially last night. And really, this counts for – you could put it for any of the recent losses. They almost all feel like games you should have won. Maybe not Monday's Brady Singer opener, but if you go back and you look at, you know, the losses for the Royals recently, certainly the game against Detroit, and then these two games, they feel like games you could have had. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is, to use the word Ken did, disheartening. Yeah, it is, because you felt like those were wins and you got to win your wins. And that is the bullpen thing. And look, the bullpen was fine yesterday, but mistakes haven't cost this team a lot of games this year. They're not a mistake prone team, and they did last night. So hopefully they're able to bounce it back. The good news is, well, there's two ways to look at it. They get their first day off in a while after the game today. And it's, you know, you sit there with Cole Reagans. And you need to get that win. And, you know, all of these things are in play. But if you don't, Paul, then you got to sit there for another day and you got to think about it. Right? You got to sit and you got to think about it. That makes it. But if you can win it, and I think I said day baseball earlier, I misspoke. It's a night game. But if you can win it, Then you get the win and a day of rest, and then you feel really good because you're back a game and a half up in the wild card. Nothing can happen on your day off to take you out of that group. Like, all these good feelings come back into play if you win today versus if you lose today, Paul. If you're the Royals, you lose today. Now you've lost the wild card. You're not going to gain it back. You got to sit there for 48 hours and think about it because you'll have the day off. That sucks. So, you know, as we go here, individual games in their importance of a regular season, and this will continue to outdo itself in a playoff chase, but this is as big as they've played in the regular season so far. And you know, if you subscribe to the theory that the next game is the biggest game, well, it certainly applies here because you can lose the wild card standing, you can lose, you know, momentum, you're at home, you don't want to get swept at home, you've got a day off to think about this stuff tomorrow, and you feel like you certainly could have won yesterday's game and maybe even Monday's game. That stuff stinks, and so win today. You know, it's a big game for the Royals tonight, as big as it gets in right. September baseball.
A lot of old-timers would say, well, you can't get too excited about any one particular game or any one particular series. But I think in this particular case, I think you make a really great point that, maybe this is that – I guess there comes a point in every season, particularly for baseball, there comes that one point where you say, yes, this is big. This sets the trend. Sure, there's still 2 months left in 7 weeks still left in the baseball season, and we understand that. But – you know, there comes a point where you make that stand. I mean, right now you're 5.5 games out of first place in your division behind the Cleveland Guardians. Sure, you're 5.5 games, but this is where you make that stand. You're still right there, probably on the lower end of chances of making the wild card than you were. I would say that maybe you are less chances of making the wild card right this moment than you were 2 weeks ago. And basically, the numbers are still staying the same, but I don't get that sense. I get the sense that you're right. This is a big series. This is a big game. And we're in the middle of – well, we're in the first week of August, and we're calling out a big game. But I think, Jacob, you're probably right. This is, for this team, on this day, a big game. You're right. You're totally right.
Big as it gets. I don't mind doing that in a baseball season. I think it makes baseball more enjoyable. It is true by definition that every single game in a 162 game schedule means the exact same as every other game.
That's right.
You're right. It does. But Paul, we both know. Right. We've been doing this too long. Emotionally, they're not all the same. Mm-hmm. They're not.
That's right.
And even as a fan, like, there are years where you go back and you'll remember random games of a random series where you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe they let that game go.
I know.
You know, if you don't think players don't think about that stuff, if the fans do, go talk to a player and listen to their recall about the events that'll happen over a season. Emotionally, these things matter, and emotionally, this is a pretty big game. Now, what does it mean if they lose? It just means it stings more. Does it mean they don't make the playoffs? Does it mean, no, of course not. But it stings more. And a win, I think, can reset things to where they were before this series because you feel like, yeah, that's too bad. We should have won more games in that series, but everything's still fine, right? Like, it's fine. We should have won on, you know, Tuesday night. We didn't. We made a couple mistakes. We can't do that again. But, you know, we limited the damage because the reality is if you win today, the only damage from a pretty bad series overall is that you lost one game, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So, but you could also lose three games.
Right.
And there's a huge difference there because it just feels like this thing is going to come down to one or two games either direction from whether it's the, you know, the Red Sox, the Astros, however many teams it is. I don't know that, you know, the second and third teams are just going to create this unbelievable amount of space between themselves and the other wildcard teams. We'll see, but it certainly doesn't feel that way based on what we've seen so far. Right. All right, let's do this. Let's set up this new giveaway we've got for you.
Oh, so let's here's do it.
Tim Tebow's coming to an event.
Oh, wonderful.
Charity event at the Crown Uptown.
Good.
There'll be some signed merchandise there. You've got a chance to win an all ball. This is what the event's called, all ball. All ball weekend prize package. It includes a pair of tickets to the Tebow event at the Crown Uptime, Uptown, and some signed Tebow merchandise. So Tim Tebow fans, I know there are a lot of Tim Tebow fans out there.
Oh, yeah.
All you got to do to get your chance to win this is text the word Tim, T-I-M, to 20357. Message and data rates apply. That's Tim, 20357. You'll get a chance to come listen to him speak, get some cool signed gear. That's all out there for you. Day one of that contest, and beautiful. It starts right now. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. Brandon Ayuk, what a curious situation here it for the is. 49ers. We talked a little bit about it yesterday and how it's good news for the Chiefs to have him shipped out of San Francisco. But the way this is playing out in the overall picture when it comes to NFL wide receivers is fascinating to me. We'll get into that as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of Sports Daily. Grady Dick coming second hour. Keep it here. We'll be right back.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Good talking Royals. Baseball coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Don't forget, you can text the keyword Tim right now to 20357 for a chance to win an all-ball weekend prize package to the Tim Tebow event coming up in a couple of weeks. Good luck, everybody. Message and data rates apply there. Paul, how much have you followed this Brandon Ayuk situation? Brandon Ayuk is a very talented receiver, 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns last year, doesn't have his big contract yet. He'll get it. Now the question is where. It looks like it's not going to happen in San Francisco. They're trying to work a deal. We've heard rumors that New England, Pittsburgh, Cleveland are the main suitors. Now, at one point, Washington was. They haven't been lately. So there's a lot of challenges in this deal. One, the team trading for him has to be able to sign the contract with Ayuk, essentially, and know they're going to be able to sign the contract with Ayuk, or they're not going to trade for him. You have to, you know, you have to get compensation back for San Francisco. So there's San Francisco has to like the deal. The other team has to like the deal. And Brandon Ayuk has to like the deal because he's got to be willing to sign a contract somewhere. We are hearing now that New England looked like they were going to get a deal done, but Ayuk doesn't want to go there. This is complicated. We've seen these trades, they'll work out all the time when they follow with a big deal. We saw it with Tyreek Hill. We saw it with Devontae Adams. You know, these things happen relatively frequently right now in the NFL. We saw the Browns do this and get Amari Cooper from the Cowboys. We had Stephon Diggs, as this has sort of now happened with Stephon Diggs twice. You know, the returns on these typically are pretty mixed bag. You know, the easy ones to say are the Chiefs don't regret the Tyreek Hill trade, the Packers don't regret the Devontae Adams trade. The Cowboys probably don't regret the Amari Cooper trade. The Vikings probably don't regret the Stephon Diggs trade. The first one, now we'll see if the Bills regret trading him again. I think there are, but do you think the Eagles, Paul, regret trading for A.J. Brown?
No, I don't.
I certainly don't think they
do. I don't think they would, but who knows?
You know, and there are others. Do you think, you know, the Bills regretted acquiring Stephon Diggs from the Vikings?
Well, I don't think so.
You think the Cardinals regretted trading for DeAndre Hopkins from the Texans? I don't think so. So it really does go both ways. And while, you know, you want to sort of poo-poo these and say, oh, it never works out for the teams going to trade for these receivers, that's certainly not true. It's about 50-50 now, mm-hmm, as far as these high-profile receivers and these sorts of trades. Mm-hmm.
I find it fascinating because you go, I mean, the fact that even New England was in the mix. Listen, is New England going to compete for a Super Bowl this year?
No, but they're trying to protect a young quarterback, Paul.
You've
got to take care of Drake May.
I get that, but I'm looking at, from Ayuk's point of view, I'm thinking to myself.
Right, yeah, I wouldn't go there if I was Ayuk either.
And I'm thinking to myself, If I was to say, Jacob, give me three teams you think might be in the Super Bowl, have a shot at winning the Super Bowl, I'm positive you'd probably list one of your three teams as the San Francisco 49ers, correct? I know. I don't even need to. I know that. And my thought to myself is, you know, winning's a lot of fun. You know, winning makes things a lot easier. Winning makes your life more simple and more enjoyable. And you have a chance to win a Super Bowl with the 49ers. The teams that you're mentioning, are the Steelers going to be? I think, you know, you've got a great head coach. Tomlin's a great head coach. A lot of guys like playing for an old-fashioned coach like him. Cleveland Browns, we'll see if they're better or not. I don't. But the Cleveland Browns or the Pittsburgh Steelers probably.
Yeah, their quarterbacks. The Browns' quarterback stinks.
Okay, my point is that neither one of those teams will more than likely win a Super Bowl this particular year. You're going to make so much money you can't even spend it all if you don't blow it or anything like that. And for me, it would be a factor. I'm going to get paid fairly close to wherever I go. Why wouldn't you? And this is a question that I would ask you. Why wouldn't you want to hang around, have a chance to win a Super Bowl, cement your legacy?
Because they're not going to sign him to the long-term deal. You just have to, like, you got to look at it a couple of different ways. I get it. Everybody's circumstance and their, you know, desires are a little bit different. But right now the players sort of have the power to do this. And if you don't want to risk injury, because what happens if he gets hurt? He's going to cost himself a ton of money. Right. So the trend right now in the league is to go get that deal a year early. That's what's been happening. That's why we have all these holdouts, right? They're all the same.
Yep.
So whatever, you can do whatever you want. Organizations have their different philosophies on that, certainly, and they have every right to have their different philosophies on that too. The reality is the 49ers paid Christian McCaffrey again. They've already paid Debo Samuel. They've paid George Kittle, and they know they have to pay Brock Purdy. They're getting Brock Purdy for nothing. That goes away very quickly. They can't afford to sign Brandon Ayuk. They know that. He knows that. So he's like, okay, well, let me go where I can get, you know, make sure I have that security now. So where's that going to be? If he doesn't want to go to New England, I get it. I wouldn't either if I were him. I get why New England would want him. But if it's essentially, you got to think of this almost like Brandon Ayuk is a free agent a year early. It complicates things, right? Because you have to have, because if he was a free agent, it wouldn't cost these teams anything in a trade package. It really does sort of depend on what you're looking at. If I'm New England, I've got Drake May. I'd like to make things easy on Drake May. Makes perfect sense, right? So then you got to look elsewhere. Pittsburgh. Brandon Ayuk could help Pittsburgh. The team that knows wide receiver better than any team in football is interested in Brandon Ayuk. That should tell you something. Brandon Ayuk could really help them. Ayuk, Pickens there. They just drafted another young player. They got a couple of good running backs. They seem to finally be solving their line. And some combination of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, to me, is better than what Deshaun Watson's going to bring this year to Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. No.
Cleveland, the rumor yesterday was if Cleveland traded for him, they would send Amari Cooper back the other direction, which makes a ton of sense for San Francisco. I would suspect that Brandon Ayuk would be willing to go to Cleveland. Here's the team that makes the most sense to me, and they were the ones very early in the rumors. They were the ones that, you know, you had Ayuk and their young quarterback sort of joint messaging. It's Washington. Washington makes sense for the same reasons that New England made sense. You got a young rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels. But Washington's got Terry McLaurin. Washington's got Jahan Dotson. You're talking about putting together a wide receiver room that could rival anybody in a very, you know, I don't want to call it a shaky division. It's a tough division because you know Dallas and Philadelphia are going to be good. But if you're Washington and you're trying to do this rebuild, like that would make sense to me. And I can almost with certainty say Brandon Ayuk would have an interest in going there. Now that, you know, that had all died down for Washington in this. So who knows if they're able to put it together because San Francisco still has to like the deal. What does San Francisco have to lose here, Paul? That's sort of the thing. Like San Francisco feels in this deal like the Chiefs felt with Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen to them? He holds out? Okay. He hadn't gotten his big contract yet. Like, you're really going to not get paid? I doubt it. We're going to hold out for 2 years? So that doesn't seem likely. Worst case for San Francisco is you've got Ayuk playing and he's, you know, he's mad. Okay, great. You can come out and play or do whatever you want. They drafted a rookie in the first round to sort of make up for this. So it really is, I'm surprised that Ayuk kiboshed a deal, because you don't do this unless getting that contract is the most important thing to you. And it sounds like they would have given him the contract. So that part does make it a little interesting. But if he's going to be picky about it, and you have to have the planets aligned, the only two places that make sense to me are Pittsburgh and Washington.
Well,
and so now we have to see if either of those teams even make sense.
But I think at this point you're seeing I'll tell you what tells me a lot about this particular deal is the new term that I'd never heard before, Brandon Ayuk, and that was a hold-in. The hold-in, you know, that you're practicing.
Happening a lot this year, yeah.
It's happening a lot, but I've never really heard that until this year.
Well, it's because they don't want to get fined.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't want to get fined, so you just sort of show up.
Right, but the point is that you're there, and by the way, whenever you would see something on him, it always looked like there was effort. I mean, it wasn't like he was just standing over there just, you know, doing the bare minimum. It looked like he was involved. Evidently, he's been involved in team meetings. He shows up for workouts, weight room stuff, team meetings, coaches meetings, all that stuff. It appears to me that he was making the effort. I want to stay. Now, that's what it appeared to me. I want to stay.
But they're not going to pay him, Paul. They can't.
Then why go through all – see, that's what I'm having trouble reconciling. Then why go through what he's going through right now?
Because he doesn't want to get fined. He doesn't want to lose his game checks. Well, like he does, you know,
but there's a difference between doing the bare minimum and look like you're really trying. And to me, it's looked like he's been really trying. At least from
I don't think it's that he wants to be there. I think it's that he wants to be paid, and they can't do it. He knows it. They know it, everything. An email in from Bryce to the program says, as a Steelers fan, I'm excited about the possibility of getting Ayuk. I think a second-round pick could get it done. I think San Francisco's not ready to settle for a second-round pick yet. Mike Tomlin brings in guys that want to play for him. He says, Pittsburgh makes a lot of sense to me. It's a good fit. Brandon Ayuk's really, really good, and Pittsburgh could – really help themselves and at some point convert themselves, I think, into a Super Bowl contender. They do such a good job of never having down years. Let's take a break. We can continue this. And again, we'll touch again on why this is good news for the Chiefs, all of it. There's almost no circumstance in this that would be bad news for the Chiefs. But
that's one way of looking at it.
we'll look at that when we return. We got Grady Dick coming second hour. More Royals talk. Rashee Rice talked at Chiefs camp. Also, we'll talk a little Chiefs as we make our way through, see if any of this ties into them. 869-1240 is the number to call on that IHOP hotline. It's all Brockton Savage. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Wednesday. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage alongside you. We're talking about this Brandon Ayuk situation because it's interesting.
It is interesting.
When you've got a player of his caliber, you think of the power brokering in the NFL, and you think about the Chiefs, who are at the top of the mountain. Not that they would be interested in trading for Brandon Ayuk. They're not. But what would his movement potentially mean for the Chiefs' Super Bowl chances? I think at the very surface, him leaving San Francisco enhances the Chiefs' Super Bowl chances almost no matter where he goes.
No question.
Outside of him landing in Baltimore.
Baltimore would be my first thought.
Baltimore or Buffalo, who lost Stephon Diggs. That would probably be the short list for me of teams that could really impact the Chiefs' chances. You know, he's not going to go to the Eagles because they've already got two star highly paid receivers. So, you know, the short list for me, I mean, the Lions maybe would shake things up a little bit, but San Francisco is not going to trade him to the Lions. I don't know, it'd probably a short list of Buffalo and Baltimore as like surprise teams and something like that that could do it. I don't think either of those teams are, by the way. So I think for the Chiefs, almost no matter what happens here, Paul, it's good news because it gets him out of San Francisco, who mentioned this yesterday. San Francisco has been the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl basically all offseason, even though the Chiefs are going for three straight. We love their offseason, and I'll have to check and see if that has maintained its way through. San Francisco has been the betting favorite with Ayuk there, Paul. So, you know, if you're looking at it, In that regard, you would like this for the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs have passed them. The Chiefs are now 5-1 favorites. San Francisco 6-1. I would imagine, this is according to ESPN Bet, I would imagine a lot of that has to do with Vegas assuming Ayuk is out of there because they've both been right around plus 550, plus, you know, six, somewhere around in there. So if you're looking at this and the next teams that are odds-wise going to win a Super Bowl, you've got Baltimore, Detroit, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Buffalo, and the Texans. And then I guess you can throw in the Cowboys down there. Cowboys would be interesting, but San Francisco is also not going to trade him to the Cowboys.
Probably not.
So if you're looking at teams that San Francisco would be willing to trade to, they're not going to trade to Philadelphia. They're not going to trade to Dallas. They're not going to trade to Detroit, I wouldn't think. So it's like Baltimore. That would hurt the Chiefs. Cincinnati's not in the market there. It'd really be Baltimore. I think we're right on it. Baltimore, Buffalo.
Right.
And neither of those teams, by the way, have been a part of any rumor here to go get Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you mentioned Detroit. A lot of guys want to go play in Detroit. The reason being, obviously, is Dan Campbell. I mean he relates to players like a lot of coaches can't, but he does. And a lot of guys want to go there. And I'm not surprised about that, but Detroit's not going to do anything with it. I think you're probably, you know, if you're looking at where you're at right now, it's probably Pittsburgh. I mean, I don't know that it's going to be Pittsburgh. I'm still not sure that he's not going to play on his existing contract for the 49ers one more. I don't know. I'm just – the way this thing is playing out, the timetable that we're setting on, teams are now in camp. I look at, that doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, that's not a big deal. But I'm not sure how this is going to play out. A lot of times I have a feel for how these things play out. This is one of those deals. This is one of those trade situations. I'm not sure how this is playing out. And I sure as heck can't make a prediction as to who signs him if he does end up going. So this is crazy. This is just crazy.
But I guess he'll be in San Francisco? I don't. I think he'll be somewhere else.
Well, probably. I don't. You know something?
I would guess Pittsburgh. If I had to guess a team, I'd guess
Pittsburgh would be as good a guess as
any. That'd be my guess. I mean, I still think Washington is a team to watch, though, and that would be exciting. The Jaden Daniels hype now is high.
He is,
by all accounts, looked really, really good.
And he is looking good. If you've watched anything on him, I mean, there's not tons and tons of stuff yet with the Olympics going on. A lot of this stuff is you're getting secondhand or you're getting, you know, just glimpses of it. But Jaden Daniels appears to be pretty good. I'm not going to go as far as to say he's the real deal, nor am I going to say he's going into Canton, Ohio either. But he's looking really good. Another rookie that evidently is looking, Marvin Harrison Jr., is, I guess, looking spectacular.
Surprise there. Right?
Oh gosh, just the pedigree. I mean, you know, he's going to walk across the room and draw attention just because of who he is. But he's getting great reports out of camp. You know, there's some really interesting situations going on in the NFL right now, and we'll get to them a little more. We'll start getting more attention on that stuff once the Olympics. Let's face it, everything's skewed right now for a viewing on all this stuff and how much time you can get your eyeballs on watching this stuff. It's a little unique because of the Olympics. That'll be over what Saturday's the closing ceremony,
yeah,
I believe.
Soon, this weekend.
This weekend.
Yeah. They'll close her down. All right, let's talk a little Chiefs here make that transition. Rashi Rice talks yesterday, doesn't give any insight on his legal situation, just said a couple of different times his team is handling that part of it.
Well, you don't blame him.
Everybody just wants to know when a suspension. It's not so much a question of if a suspension's coming. It is. It's when does it come? Mm-hmm. And one we thought might be handed down months ago at this point still lingers with a court case sitting there not happening, I believe, until December. It would tell me the league is waiting on that court case for whatever reason. I don't, you know, big picture, I'm not sure that's good news for Brandon Ayuk that they're waiting on the court case to get more information. Because he pled guilty, it would be, you know, you'd think the league, if you're just punishing that, it's like they're waiting for something else. So that, you know, in the big picture, I'm not sure that's good news, but in the short picture, it might mean he doesn't miss time this season.
Right, it might.
And so that's a really interesting dynamic to all this that he's not going to give any insight on that. He did talk about basically being able to get on the same page with Mahomes and doing all that stuff, and he's looked good in camp. I mean, I think if you're the Chiefs right now, you just proceed as he's going to be there this year. I don't know what else you do.
Well, I can tell you one thing you don't do is you don't talk about it. I mean, if you're Rice, you don't talk. I mean, we can't. What's he going to say? But you don't say anything because, you know, right now there's a lot going on that could go against you. You don't say anything.
He pleaded guilty. He said what he needed to say in that regard.
But the point is, he doesn't.
I don't think he's going to say anything because I don't think he knows is about the suspension that's coming. Mm. I mean, a suspension is coming. The details of it, we just don't know. And the league may just wait on that court case. And if they do, on the field, that's a major win for the Chiefs. I know that irritates people. I know it does.
Well, sure it does.
But you got to remember, these punishments are collectively bargained. You know, the league, you're not going to punish him twice. Rick says he didn't plead guilty. You're right, Rick. He hasn't pleaded anything. He hasn't been in court yet. He admitted guilt publicly that he did it, that he made a mistake, but he's not denying that it happened. So remember, this stuff is bargained. You can't really punish him twice if you're the NFL. So if you punish him once and then more stuff comes out in the court case, we're going to turn around and punish him again. Mm-hmm. So I get it. Like, I get where the league is practicing patience here. I guess if you have anger at it, be angry at the judicial system for taking this long. I mean, I don't know. It just, you have to sort of sit back and, you know, for the Chiefs don't let most of this stuff pull away from on the field. You can like that, you can hate that, whatever. They typically don't. And so they're all going to just proceed as if nothing's happening because I don't know what else they're supposed to do. What are they going to suspend Rashi Rice? It's a strange situation, but until the court proceedings play out, I don't know that anything's going to change, and I just don't think that should surprise anybody.
Right, and it won't be a surprise. And you're right; it's basically playing out the way it's got to play out. No comment is the way to go on this. You know, this is a period where we hate to talk about this kind of stuff. What we do is we talk about what's going on in camp. How's that going? But you're right. This is going to take its course, and no amount of you and I wishing we could get this behind us is going to get this behind us.
No, or fans, or coaches, or Rice himself, honestly, even maybe the league itself. I'm sure they'd like to wash their hands of this too and get it over with.
Right,
but they can't.
Yeah.
So we wait. Speaking of the other stuff that we're excited about, we'll go inside Chiefs camp. We'll hear from Mitch Holthus. Talking to Steve and Ted this morning. Jad's got some of that cut up for us. We'll hear a bit of his conversation, check in on Chiefs camp. And then don't forget, second hour, Grady Dick joins the program as well. Excited to catch up with Grady. It's been a while since we've had him in, so looking forward to that. He's got a camp coming up this week. Want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee. Mornings at KFH. Staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Always appreciate their support. We'll be back. Hour number two of Sports Daily coming right up.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.